a prayer concern for, I have two great nieces who just have a lot of problems in their house, and I'd like us to pray that God can put a hand on their shoulder and direct someone to help them. They really need prayer right now, and they need a way out. And
my light is on. Could it? Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was my lead-lined pocket that I had it in. Great. Jeremy, you have an announcement you'd like to make, right? Oh, hey, could we get a microphone in here? It'd be really good if that could just happen every Sunday, just automatic. It's happening.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Thursday night men's group is continuing. Our first one since Courageous was this past Thursday. It went well. Any men, gentlemen that want to join us. At this point, we're calling it a Bible study / group meeting. We don't really know what it is. All we know is that the men are getting together and we're studying the Bible. And anytime that happens, it has to be a good thing. So any men want to join us on Thursday night at the cafe from 7 to 8. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Any other announcements?
From out of the Walking with Jesus, there's a group of us that are still walking on Thursday evenings here at the church. So if you just want the fellowship and want to join us at about 6:30, usually 6:30 till quarter after 7, 7:30, we're out here walking. So you're more than welcome, anyone.
Well, sister, we're so glad that you're still walking with Jesus. And we hope all of you are still walking with Jesus, too. Any other announcements? Don't get lost, Ken. Let's go ahead. Oh, no, I do have one other announcement. We'll go into sharing. But I have a list of about a dozen of you have been contacted to see if you'd be willing to become worship leaders. And what I have here is a sign-up sheet for Sundays through the end of the summer. And if you could give a look at this, I'm going to lay it up here on the front bench. And if you could fill in when you would be willing, the Sundays that you'd be willing to serve as a worship leader, that would be really, really great. Uh-oh, you better sign up, yeah. Hey, one of the really special moments at conference last year was the presentation of the Volunteer of the Year by the Outdoor Ministries Association. And the Volunteer of the Year for our entire denomination was Joanne. And she wasn't able to be there because her hubby was in the hospital and she needed to stay close to home. But Joanne, we accepted it on your behalf, and we ate the meal that was for you, and we enjoyed the chocolates, and we were on the cruise, and it was fabulous. So, thank you. I just, we were all proud of you and understood why you were unable to be there to accept that. Okay, now we can shift gears and talk about joys or concerns that you may have. Do you have a joy or concern you'd like to lift up?
Yes, I turn, I guess, as a lot of us do, about the lack of rain. We were supposed to get maybe about 3 days of rain on and off, but it doesn't seem to be happening, and things are drying up pretty badly.
They sure are, and you should see Ohio and Indiana. Wow.
I spoke briefly with you yesterday, Pastor Bob, about Judy Bizon's husband, David Braun, and I've been in contact with some people from Westminster Church, some friends. Mm-hmm. David was out for a walk at conference, and he tripped on a brick sidewalk. He fell and knocked himself unconscious, ended up in the street, has a lot of facial broken bones, and there is a hole leaking air from the fluid around his brainstem, and they will know more on Monday. So I'd like us to remember David and Judy.
Okay, and what's the last name?
It's B-R-A-U-N-E. They've been married 10 days.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a real shocking thing. Thanks for checking that out.
I have and I'd like us to pray that God can put a hand on their shoulder and direct someone to help them. They really need prayer right now, and they need a way out, and I just need God to be there for them. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chris. We have one over here. Yeah, you see it.
Glenn Franz, he was on life support, and he has now come out of the hospital, and he's doing fine right now. He's in pretty good shape, so I think God's prayers were answered.
Great.
Because he was on life support, and he was in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, that's amazing. Tell me the last name again.
Glenn Franz.
Franz.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. Rufus. Any others? We have one over here.
Hi, just an update on Jeremy. He is supposed to have surgery on his ankle. I think it's the 26th or 28th of July. It's going to be at Hershey. And currently he also, it's infected. So let's pray that the infection clears up, that he can have his surgery.
Thanks. Also, Rufus Bayshore was briefly in the hospital and was discharged, but let's remember Rufus Bayshore in our prayers as well. Any other prayer concerns? This coming week is a Vacation Bible School here, and you see the theme posted, "Take Me to the Water, God's Love Flows." And so, Sue, if you could come forward, we're going to have some consecration for our volunteers for Vacation Bible School.
That one?
Yes, tears for Vacation Bible School.
That one?
Yes. Did you talk with Pam about that?
Yep.
Okay, good. Wait, it's not on yet. Uh-uh. It is.
Now you know I'm never up here.
Come on, turn on. There we go. That's what happens when you get the B team.
Okay, this year's theme is Take Me to the Water, God Loves Flows. The curriculum focuses on five Bible texts that use water to illustrate God's provision of life and blessing. The stories will help children understand faith as they explore the use of water in Bible times, as well as water issues around the world today. Through these stories and by acknowledging the place of water in our lives, children will know that God is a source of life. Just as God provided life-giving water in these stories, God continues to be the source of life and sustenance for us today. Sandy's going to introduce our offering project for this year.
Good morning. How many of you took a shower this morning or had a drink of water? I'm going to ask you for one day this week to, every time you use water, turn on the faucet or use it in any way, shape, or form, put anywhere from 25 cents away every time you use it for one day to see how much you accumulate in one day and see if you can donate that to our offering project. We are going to try and build a well for Nigeria to help the people. When I think about walking 10 miles for water, I know 2 miles sometimes gets long in the morning, but I don't know about 10 miles walking for water. I probably need a couple water bottles. I was going to bring a water bottle up here and drink in front of you, too, but I didn't do that. Linda Sigler helped me with this project, and we're going to do it for Nigeria, and we're hoping to complete one well. And if we can have a little bit extra money, that will also be donated towards a well. But one well costs $13,340. So it's part of the mission project and our Vacation Bible School project, and we're hoping to at least build one well. So if you have any questions, you can contact me or Linda Sigler. And I thank Linda for all that she has done to help me with this project.
Okay, this year our Bible school committee is me and Sandy are the directors. Our committee is Charlene Keeney, Jen Emmerich, and Dorinda Kaufman. I wonder donated or made for the children. So if anybody has time this week, you know, you can make them and bring them to the church. That did not get in the bulletin. If you look on the paper in your bulletin, it has a list of all the teachers and helpers. That is not an updated list. There's like at least 10 people that are not on that list. Michelle Snyder, Sherry and Abby Mosteller, Cheryl Straw. We're going to have a skit. There are people that are in the skit, and I honestly don't even know who they are. Heather Klayman, Doug Siegfried, Becky and Nicole Emmerich, and Sheila Benarczyk. I think I got everybody. Also, Loretta Walborn has helped us by going through the library and pulling out books and tapes for use. And for my own personal help, I have trouble with the computer. I have been frustrated beyond frustration trying to do stuff that I thought I could do, and of course I couldn't do it. So I also had help with Jess, my daughter-in-law, and Jean and Charlene in the office have been wonderful helping me. At this time, if the workers that are here for Bible school want to stand up, you can stand up, and Pastor Bob is going to have prayer for us.
Thanks. Let's pray for these folks who have been willing to give of their lives to provide leadership for our Vacation Bible School this year. Let's pray together. Oh God, in company with your faithful people in every age, we have called out those with gifts for your service. You have called some to be teachers and some to be helpers and some to be administrators and some to be musicians and craft leaders and some to provide snacks. Fill all these volunteers with the love of Christ and the power of the Spirit as they carry out the ministry of Vacation Bible School. It is a ministry. Help them to be bold, knowing you are with them in every activity. Grant them wisdom, patience, and hope when they face challenges in this ministry. Give them joy in serving your church and keep them faithful in their calling. For the ministry is taking form within us all, and for all the callings yet to be, we praise your name, O Lord. Amen. Now we'll invite everybody to rise and turn to hymn number 14, and let's sing "We're Marching to Zion." Please.
From we that love the thank you.
"Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We will take your yoke upon us and learn from you, because you are humble and gentle. You refresh and revive our souls." Remain standing, and let's sing in this next song. Be seated, and let's join together in a time of prayer. Lord, that is our prayer today, that in this place and in our lives, in our thinking, in our doing, in your church, be glorified. We pray that all that we do would have as its aim to work for the glory of our God and our neighbor's good. Lord, even as we pray together, even as we ask you to reach out to those who need a touch of healing and a touch of encouragement in our gardens and farms that need more than a touch of water, may you be glorified even as you answer these prayers. Lord, you know that we need rain, and that water is such an important part of all of life. And those who live in Africa and actually in the Midwest and the Far West here in North America maybe have a better grasp of that than we do. We take so much for granted. Lord, we pray that you would send rain to the dry places in this earth. We also pray that you'd be with Rufus Bayshore, that you would continue to provide healing and wholeness to him. We pray for David Brown, who had that tragic accident where he fell and has done some serious damage with that fall. Pray, God, that you would lay a hand of healing upon him. We think of he and Judy, who were just married only 10 days ago, and really looking forward to their life together over the next years. And we pray that you would be with Judy and that you would be a blessing to her. We pray for Chris's nieces who just need our prayers, who need some wisdom and choices that they're making and probably need some guidance in their lives, need some encouragement. And we believe, God, that you're able to do all of that. And so we pray that you would guide them and that you would give them wisdom and that you would encourage them. We thank you that Glenn France is doing so well and pray that you'd continue to be with him, continue to bless him. We pray for Jeremy Hartraft, who is looking to having a surgery, and pray your blessing upon him. Pray that you would lay a hand of healing upon him. Lord, this list could be 10 times longer than it is because we're all aware of people who need a touch from you. And so just now, Father, we pray that you would hear our prayers as we lift up the names and the circumstances and the situations that we're aware of that need a touch from you. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. And also, there's a song that we sang at conference this year that I hadn't sung for about 20 years. It was, invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. And also, there's a song that we sang at conference this year that I hadn't sung for about 20 years. It was in the first supplement to the hymnal. And it was one that I sang a lot 20 years ago and then heard it again at conference and really liked it, and it's one that I'd like us to learn. So pay attention as I sing it, and we'll learn it together. Your kingdom come, your will be done, now that we are your daughters and sons. May the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. Well, that's the chorus. Let's try it. I see you looking up here. You want to, can you flip it back to the chorus?
Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, may the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. The eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The chains of the lame shall be broken. Streams will flow in deserts of fear. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, may the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. The islands shall sing their songs at last. The chaff from the wheat shall be burned. God's kingdom on earth, it shall come to pass. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. The nation shall see their shame. The one true God shall be adored. They'll turn from their fortune and fame. God's holy mountain shall be restored. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Now that we are your daughters and sons, let the prayer of our hearts daily be, God, make us your family. God, make us your family. God, make us your family.
Lord, that's our prayer, that we would look more and more like your sons and daughters, that people would see us and say, hey, I know you. You look just like your Father in heaven. May we continue to live as your daughters and sons, that we might fulfill your great purpose, complete your work here on earth as it is in heaven. The book of Acts over the past number of weeks. And I took a break from that just for this Sunday so that I could share a challenge that I shared with the conference goers this past week as a part of our conclusion of conference. And it's these two verses from Philippians chapter 2, just these two verses. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. There were a number of holy moments at conference this past week in St. Louis. But for me, one of the first ones was on the Saturday evening worship when Walter Brueggemann, a renowned Old Testament scholar, known all over the world, published author, he preached that night. And someone who was in the early service said he kind of reminded me of what Scrooge looked like. He's a kind of an aged sort of a fellow, and when he spoke into the mic, he sort of leaned into the mic and he spoke, you know, with a very serious kind of accent. And he said, "We need to go down into the prison cell where the Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, and we need to look through those prison bars and hear what Paul has to say to the church today." And he said it with that kind of affect. And then he began to walk us through Philippians that Paul wrote from a prison cell. And one of the first things that he reminded us that Paul wanted to say to us is what Paul said in the first chapter, I think it's in verse 6 or 7, where Paul said, "He who began a good work in you will see that work to completion." And that was such a good word. That was such good news. Because God has begun a good work in every one of us. God has begun a good work through our forefathers and foremothers nearly 300 years ago. We celebrated our 250th anniversary a few years ago. And God began a good work here in this part of God's creation back in 1757. And that work continues. And our God will see that work to completion. Paul went on then in the second chapter to talk about how God will go about completing that work. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning for the next few minutes. Paul said two things about the work that we're called to do. First of all, in verse 12, Paul said that we are to work out our salvation. And then he adds, with fear and trembling. And then he says in the very next verse that God is at work within us, both to will and to act according to his purpose. And so it's those two things that I believe we need to hold in tension. Those two things that need to be balanced within the church if the good ship church is going to continue to plow through the deep, dark sea and accomplish the great purposes that God wants to continue working toward in our lives. We need to work out our salvation, and we need to be willing to let God continue His work in us so that God is working and willing within us according to His good pleasure. Now, as I was thinking about this the other day, I tell you, I'm so glad that many of the thoughts that pop into my head as I work on my sermon kind of fade away before I actually do them, because sometimes I'll wake up the next morning and I'll think, what a silly idea. What was I thinking of? Well, I had one of those silly ideas, and I emailed it to Mark, and I said, could you put in the computer this morning that clip from Snow White where the seven dwarves are singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Because, you know, the theme this morning I knew would be work. And I was so happy when I came in this morning for the early service and found out that while Mark put that in, that it sort of jammed and it didn't work. And I thought, phew, boy, we dodged a bullet on that one. How silly would that be? And then I noticed that the folks who showed up in the early service, they were really game to give it a go. And so, acting it out is always so much acting it out is always so much better than watching it on video. And so, you're with me, right? I mean, we can do this together, can't we? We can do this together, can't we? This clip that I was going to show you begins with one of the dwarfs. I can't remember which it was, but let's call him Dopey, okay? Dopey began by singing, hi-ho, hi-ho. And then all the dwarfs joined in with him to sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Hi-ho, 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 it's off to work we go. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Now, wasn't that fun? Actually, the person who had posted that clip in YouTube works in an Alzheimer's unit and had shared. Now, I'm not getting personal with this, so... I'm not making any implication here at all, okay? So wipe those smiles off your face. No, the person who posted it said that he or she works in an Alzheimer's unit and went in one day to the Alzheimer's unit and began singing that, and folks joined in and sang together. And it was really a wonderful moment in the unit that morning, in a place where there's often sort of sadness and blank stares. There was kind of a joining together and singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Well, the reason I thought of that was that so often when we think of the work of the church or doing the work of God or working out our own salvation, you know, the part we connect with most is doing it with fear and trembling. And I don't think Paul meant when he said fear and trembling was an expression that Paul used often. And it was an expression that he used to mean with intensity, with real purpose. He wasn't saying that we should be fearful and that we should tremble as we do it, but that we should have a sense of intensity and a sense of purposefulness, if there is such a word, as we continue to work out our salvation. And it reminded me of that time when a group of us were down in Ashland City, Tennessee, last year on a work camp. You know, the year before, in 2009, I guess it was, no, 2010, there were these terrible floods in the Cumberland River Valley, and they opened up these gates so that Nashville, Tennessee wouldn't be flooded. But what that meant was that much of the farmland and a number of the villages and a number of the homes that were right along the Cumberland River were flooded out. And so Brethren Disaster went down there, and we built a number of new houses. And then our crew, when we went down there last year, we spent the first part of the week working, doing the finishing work in three or four of those houses. And by this time, the air conditioning was already on, and we were working inside. It was 103 degrees. The humidity was at 90%, and we got to work inside with the air conditioner. We felt pretty good about that. And we could sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. The last day that we were there, we had done everything that we could do in finishing these houses, and we were to begin a new house. But before the new house could be begun, there was a foundation that needed to be torn down so that a new slab could be poured, and this new house could then be built on a new foundation. And so the last day we're there, it's 103 degrees, 90% humidity, and we were given sledgehammers to smash down these thick walls reinforced with rebar, and then break it up into smaller pieces that we could fill the wheelbarrows with and take down over the hill and dump into a hole that was there. And I want to tell you, we were still able to sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go, because we were doing God's work. And we were doing it together. And the couple whose house would be rebuilt were an elderly couple who were living literally in a shed. I think it was the Red Cross came in and installed an 8x12 shed. And they put some of that Tyvek wrap around it so that they lived there over the winter, so the wind wouldn't blow through the shed. And they were living there, and they were there with their birds and their dogs as we were tearing the foundation down, anticipating a new house that would be built for them. And doing God's work makes you want to sing. It's off to work we go. And so as we're working out our salvation, it's not like, you know, the kind of workout we thought we would get when we bought those stationary bikes and those Nordic tracks. And I still have my Nordic track that I never use anymore, but I bought a Nordic, what's that thing called, Carol? Throw out some words of exercise equipment that you buy for your home. Yes, I bought a Nordic track elliptical machine 2 years ago that I've used a grand total of 3 times. That was on sale for $300, so it only cost me $100 each time. And that's way better stewardship than some of the things that I've spent money. But, you know, we buy things and with good intentions. We make a commitment to Christ with good intentions, and then it begins to dawn on us that, you know, that this is going to require a little bit of elbow grease and a little bit of maybe getting up early in the morning before we go to work to pray and do those kinds of things. And somehow it's not the kind of work that we feel like singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. But listen, when we're doing God's work, as we're working out our salvation, listen, it's salvation that is a gift from our God. So we don't have to save ourselves. It's not like we're out in the deep blue sea without a life jacket and somehow we need to save ourselves. It is a gift from our God that we receive and work into our lives. It's kind of like it is when we're making communion bread for our love feast. We get together with people we love, and we work the dough together. And it's a joyful kind of thing. And that's the way it is to work out our salvation. We are working God's salvation into our lives. However, we can only do that if, at the same time, we allow God to work in us. You see, it's kind of like breathing. Once you've breathed out as much air as you can breathe out, you can't do it anymore until you breathe in some new air. And this business of walking with Jesus is, it's an exercise in breathing. We take in to ourselves the great things of God, God's saving grace, so that we can then breathe out God's grace and God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love on those who are around us. And so we must hold those two in tension, bringing in the good things that God is seeking to do in our lives so that we can work out God's salvation into the lives of others. We work in, we work out. We breathe in, we breathe out. And many times, those of us, those who are wired like us, who have a very good work ethic, you know, we don't want to take time to pray. We don't want to take time to reflect and meditate on the goodness of our God because there's too much work to be done. And so we run out of gas because often we find ourselves attempting to do God's work with our own energy, with our own strength, using our own wisdom. And it's only as we take in God's goodness, God's strength, God's energy, that we're able to work out God's saving ways. Now, I use that word energy because actually the word that Paul uses there, the Greek word, where it says God is at work in you, and the word is energeo. And it's where our word energy comes from. That it is only as God energizes our lives. It's only as we take within ourselves the energy of the living God that we have the energy to work out our salvation and to work God's saving ways into the people and the culture around us. And so we must take in God's energy. And listen, another interesting point, at least it was interesting to me, this word energeo is the same word that's used when it talks about God's working to resurrect Jesus from the dead. That's the kind of energy it is. It's not human energy, it's divine energy that God wants to put in our lives so that we can continue, so that the work that has begun in us can be brought to completion as we take God's energy within us. There's a parable that, it's an old one that you've probably heard before, about a fellow who was shipwrecked, and he was on a deserted island, and he began to pray, "Oh Lord, save me. Send someone to rescue me from this deserted island." Well, he prayed that every day, but he also worked to build a hut. He also worked to gather food. And that's kind of the way it is in life, that we, on the one hand, we're asking God to save us from our sin and save us from the pitfalls and foibles of this life. But at the same time, we recognize that we're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world, and we're called to continue living in this world. And so this man, every day he prayed to be saved, but he also worked to build a hut and to gather food and so on and so forth. Well, one day he was out gathering food, and he came back, and much to his horror, his hut was on fire. And he was crushed. He cried out, "God, Why did you do this to me? And as he cried himself to sleep that night, out on the sand, he was a broken man. The next day, he awakened to begin another day. When he noticed off on the horizon a ship heading toward him, the ship got close enough to send out a lifeboat, a rescue party. And he said, "How did you know that I was here?" And they said, "Well, we saw the fire that you lit." You see, folks, many times, the very moments when we feel most alone, most forsaken, God is at work in us, working in the circumstances of our lives, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I want to share with you the challenge that I left with those who participated in the closing ceremonies at annual conference this past Wednesday. I charged us to go home, to return to our prayer closets, and to pray, "Oh God, continue your work in me so that I am able to do what is well pleasing to you." And so I want to challenge each of us to return to our prayer closets and pray in that way. Oh God, continue your work in me so that it will be well pleasing to you. You know, many times we go to our prayer closets and we're aware of all of these prayer concerns, and we heard some of them here this morning. And what are God's prayer concerns? What are the things that are on God's heart? Oh God, continue your work in our lives so that our lives will reflect what is pleasing to you. I also challenge us to return to our home congregations and in our worship, come together and not worry so much about whether or not we're singing our favorite hymns, or whether or not the pastor's sermon is clever, or whether or not we run into some of our friends, or whether or not we have our flavor of coffee, but we would come together and gather together and in our worship say, "Oh God, may all that we do in this place today be well pleasing to you." Doesn't matter if we don't sing the hymns that I want to sing. Doesn't matter if the preacher doesn't preach what I want to hear. Doesn't matter if my flavor of coffee. Oh God, we are here to worship you. May our worship be well-pleasing to you. And then the final challenge was that when we gather together in our ministry teams and in our committees and in our leadership teams and in our church boards, that we would take our agenda and set it aside. Not throw it away, but just set it aside. And say, "Oh God, what is your agenda for your church?" May we choose to do that which is well pleasing to you. That is my prayer for us as we continue, as God's work continues in us, that we would be open vessels, inviting the mighty work of our God to be at work in us, both to will and to work according to His good purposes. Let's rise to our feet, open our hymnals, and sing "Gentle Shepherd, Come and Lead Us." to this time that we spend together as the worship service. And I heard someone say once, now that the worship is over, let us go out in service to the world around us. So I'd like to send us out with a song. Are you ready?
I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope, it's off to work we go. I hope, I hope, I hope, I hope, it's off to work we go. I hope, I hope.